This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
Providing the dairy cow the nutrition it needs. Our topic today on our Producer Tuesday, brought to you by the Professional Dairy Producers. More details about their programs and events and much more, including the PDPW Dairy Signal at pdpw.org. And that's where Dr. Heather White, Associate Professor in Nutritional Physiology at the UW-Madison, discuss more about optimal feed efficiency.
Something that's really unique about this effort, there's a geneticist and a nutritionist at each research station that's working on it, analyzing and quantifying every amount of energy the cow takes in and every amount of energy that she puts out. So when we do these studies, we've determined back from the USDA grant that 45 days is a pretty sound period of time for the selection. We're determining everything that she eats. We're doing a lot of feed analysis, individual feed intakes, whether that's in a tie stall or in a Kalin gate, which is an electronic gate where every one cow has her one spot at the table, if you will, that she can eat from in the bunk. Or at Arlington, those of you who have seen our facility, we have Insyntech feeding gates, which are big blue bins of feed. And we can determine that cows can have access to one of these all the way up to all 32. But all of these systems allow us to determine what each individual cow is eating. And we can do that on an energy basis. Then we also determine how much energy she's putting out in the terms of milk. And we do that not just milk yield, but very importantly, milk energy output. And we're determining the other sources of energy and where they might go. So a change in body weight or a change in body condition score. That way we can account for that. And our goal at the end of it is to look at that cow for 45 days and say, what are all of the ways we can explain where energy went to? And what's the leftover? What's the part we can't explain at this point? And that's the residual feed intake. The difference between what we predicted she should have eaten based on how much milk she made and how much body weight change she had and what she actually ate. If that number is negative, then she's in a more efficient animal of that set. So she ate less than we thought she should have to. If it's positive, she's less efficient. She ate more than we thought she should have. And that's the phenotype that our goal is to come up with at the end of that the geneticists are using for selection.
Comments from Dr. Heather White from the University of Wisconsin-Madison on a recent PDPW Dairy Signal. And the hundreds of pounds of feed that can be saved through genetic selection takes time, but she says we can also make improvements while we're making that progress.
Mimicking other scenarios that could happen. So if we just run these replicated studies, if you will, for 45 days, we've got the same diet, every study, all through the year. That tells us really important baseline information, but it doesn't necessarily show us all the variants that could happen. So we've done a lot of studies across the collaborative team where we'll manipulate forage quality. We might add some feed component or nutrient that we think could influence efficiency or production. And we're looking at what the impacts of those are. And there's two real benefits to that. One of them is if something can improve feed efficiency, then that's another tool in our toolbox on farm. But the other aspect of it is a little more intricate. There are some of these factors that high efficient cows will respond differently to than low efficient cows or vice versa. Maybe a low efficient cow is low efficient on a low quality diet, but on a high quality forage, she may do better, whereas a high efficiency cow might always be more efficient. And so if we tease out that nuance, it'll allow us to maximize the genetic by diet interaction. So we can feed cows to reach their genetic performance, which is what our ultimate goal is in nutrition. So it gives us a little bit of variation along the way. For those of us doing the research, we get to try out different ideas. We get to train our students. We get to test additional questions.
Again, comments from Dr. Heather White at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and also with the Dairy Innovation Hub. From the PDPW Dairy Signal, you can hear at pdpw.org.
With Clarifly Larvicide, you get more than just a fly control product. You get more support, more expertise, and more control to prevent the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated cattle by as much as 96%. It is perfectly blended in your mineral supplement to become a part of what you are already doing, feeding your cattle. Get control of flies with a comprehensive program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Starbar products. To learn more about Clarifly Larvicide, contact your local feed dealer or visit centralflycontrol.com.
More on that from Brian Hupp from Central Life Sciences tomorrow. I'm Bill Baker, Dairy Radio Now.